This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
What is the No Spin News all about?
You know that this is a fact-based analysis news program. You know that. We avoid speculation. We don't do conspiracies here. We don't do party politics here. We're not nonpartisan. That's wrong. Not that. Okay, we are advocates for a stronger America and a more just society. We don't believe in communism. We don't believe in socialism. We don't believe in nihilism. We don't believe in the progressive woke culture. We think it is un-American. We don't support that. So you should know what we are, and it would then crystallize what we do.
Listen to the No Spin News. Subscribe to Bill O'Reilly's podcast feed wherever podcasts are available.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
Trump weighs in on a possible matchup in 2024 between him and Ron DeSantis. Ice Cube is saying Black Americans haven't gained much after voting Democrat for decades. And Disney has introduced its first plus-sized heroine in a Disney cartoon. All that and more, this is Can't Cancel Rob Smith. What is going on, Problematics? How are you doing? It is Friday. Oh my God, it is a long week. I gotta tell you, this season is a very busy one for me. I'm back and forth to sets. I'm flying back and forth from here to Florida, talking midterm elections, all of the nonsense. And I gotta tell you, and I'm being honest here, the pillows that I use to sleep, I get from my pillow. Yes, it sounds like a conservative cliche, but in my life, I actually use my pillow. They're great products. They've got new slippers that I use. I've always used the pillows, and I think they've even got sheets and towels. And the good thing for you is that if you're listening to this podcast and you go to mypillow.com and enter code RS15, you will get 15% off. They have actually just announced they are extending their money back guarantee. So you have to be satisfied with this. Again, go to mypillow.com and use code RS15 for 15% off of your order. Okay, let's get into this, guys. Donald Trump has weighed in on a possible 2024 presidential matchup between he and Ron DeSantis in the most Donald Trump way by posting on Truth Social. Now, to give you some context, I want to play you a video of a conversation that was had by Dave Rubin and Megyn Kelly. Of course, you know, Dave Rubin hosts the Rubin Report, founder of Locals, which he sold to Rumble, very big in sort of the free speech online media influencer space, and Megyn Kelly, who needs no introduction. If you guys look deeper into the podcast, I had her on the podcast a while and did hers a while ago. But anyway, they were having a conversation about Megyn Kelly's thoughts on Ron DeSantis potentially challenging Donald Trump in a run for the presidency in 2024. I'm going to play you what they had to say. And this particular clip is a little sped up, I think, for the purposes of media, but I'm going to play this clip for you.
Well, I just don't think anybody else could win if Trump runs. So, and
Really? You think if they got on a stage, you don't think that DeSantis is crafty enough or stands enough? Really?
No. I don't even think that a little. I think Trump sucks up all the energy in every room, no matter what. And even someone as skilled as a politician and smart policy-wise as DeSantis can't overcome that. He can't. You really think the hardcore MAGA is going to abandon Trump for DeSantis? They're not. They like DeSantis, but they don't think it's his turn. They think Trump was screwed out of his last election, that he was screwed out of his first term by all the craziness and the Russiagate and so on. And they think he is entitled. He deserves another shot at it. Like the hardcore Trump faithful is unshakable. They like DeSantis, but they would never cross Trump for him. And they think that DeSantis owes his political career to Trump. Like if forced to choose, they will choose Trump. So DeSantis can't take him down. It's like the line in War Games, the only winning move is not to play. DeSantis has got to either be crowned by Trump, or he shouldn't run. He won't win over Trump. I'll stand by that. You can play it against me if I'm wrong, but I won't be.
All right, well, Megan, tell us how you really feel, okay? And the reason that I played that clip for this context is on Truth Social, Donald Trump tweet, what is it called when you do something on Truth Social? It's obviously not tweeting, I guess he posted it, but he posted just two words, "I agree," exclamation point, and that's it. So Donald Trump has basically weighed in and said, and I'm actually really shocked that this is a news cycle right now, but I think that everybody's so midterm crazy right now, people are really not paying that much attention to this. But yeah, so Donald Trump is basically saying, if I decide to run in 2024, Ron DeSantis, do not challenge me. The only way you can win president, the only way you can win the nomination, the only way you can win over the base is if I crown you, is if I decide not to run and I say you're the guy and I get behind you. Now, I'm going to have to say, I do not know. I don't know, problematics. This is what this, you know, okay. So this is what, I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't have any more insider information than anybody else. I have always thought that Donald Trump will run. I've always believed that Ron DeSantis will challenge him. I don't think personally, and I believe that I've said that every time this comes up, I feel like I've said this before. I don't think personally that, I don't know that DeSantis has anything to lose, even if he challenged Trump in the primary and were not to come out victorious. This is what I think. Look, he challenges Trump in the primary. He either overtakes Trump or he doesn't. He would have to definitely step down from the governorship in Florida, right? In order to do this. If he steps down as governor of Florida, a lot of people do not realize the lieutenant governor of Florida is a Hispanic woman, would be probably the first female and the first Hispanic governor of Florida ever. So I think that if he challenges Donald Trump and like really goes for this, I don't think that it hurts him. I think that Florida would be in great hands. Florida has become even more red. People like their freedom in Florida. And so DeSantis gets even more attention. He gets the experience of having gone through it. And then if he loses, he gets behind whoever the candidate's going to be, whoever the nominee is, likely Trump, like I said. And then he either, should Trump win, he either gets a position in the cabinet, or should Trump not win, then he goes out, gets enormous amounts of money to speak, okay? And we're talking Ron DeSantis is a superstar, okay? And you are, and we're talking literally six figures per speech, probably like the whole thing. This is a lot of people, we'll call it the Nikki Haley rep, right? So Nikki Haley was not anywhere near as popular as Ron DeSantis. Nikki Haley has been collecting six-figure speaking fee checks ever since she left, you know, the UN under Trump, and building up her war chest and all that stuff because she's obviously about to make a run for it as well. And so I just don't see how it hurts him. I do not think, and, you know, when we talk about MAGA people, like I'm a MAGA person, okay? And people talk about MAGA people as if they're like stupid, as if these people are unintelligent. And I feel like even the Megyn Kellys of the world and even, you know, the Dave Rubens of the world, I think that sometimes they sort of, maybe swallow the Kool-Aid about the idea. There's this idea that the MAGA Republican is the less educated, you know, rural white voter that doesn't really make any money and is not smart and is not as savvy about things. That is not true. Number one, the median age of the median income of the average Trump voter was something like $89,000. I remember reading that statistic when all of this stuff is going on. Even the working class rural Trump voters that I have met, I got my platform in large part based to the stance that I took during the last couple of years of the Trump era. And the people that I meet when I'm going on speaking engagements across the country, whether I'm going to events, et cetera, the sort of these rural Trump voters, whatever, these are entrepreneurs. These are small business owners. These are not foolish people. They may not necessarily all be Ivy Leaguers. And I don't even know if that's any indication of intelligence in this day and age anyway. But these are not foolish people. And I don't think that they are as obsessed with Trump as I think Megyn Kelly thinks that they are. I really do not. Do I think that DeSantis could possibly challenge Trump for the nomination? I still think so, because I got to tell you, and a lot of people will not say this, and when I go to events and when I talk to people and when I do my own events and all of this, you speak with people and they will speak to you in a whisper that they like Trump, but they don't want the drama that is inherent around a Trump 2024 candidacy. And that's sort of the thing that everybody seems to be afraid to say. This is what people say to me. This isn't my personal opinion. There is no reason for me to get into this, until there's a nominee, period. So I'm not getting into it. I think that voters deserve to have a choice, and I think that voters deserve to hear from a whole host of people that are looking to run for president on the Republican side in 2024. I do believe that. But this idea that Trump has got just this unbreakable stranglehold on the MAGA base and on the Republican base and all that stuff, I do not know that that is true. And that is just what I really feel about that. All right, up next, Ice Cube is seeing the light, and he is questioning why Black Americans continue to vote for Democrats decade after decade after decade and not receive anything in return for it. I'll have that for you after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Problematics, welcome back. Now, you all know that one of my pet projects is sort of trying to wake up the Black community. If you don't know, I have a nonprofit called the Douglas Society Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Douglas Society. Go to douglassociety.com to learn more, to see some content, to get a little bit of the vision. There will be more, a lot more coming up with that in 2023. Now, Ice Cube, legendary, iconic rapper in the Black community, caught a little flack in 2020. He had a contract for Black America that he had written up. He wanted tangibles. He wanted to meet with people to see what they would actually do for Black America. Now, none of the Democrats met with him, but Trump actually did meet with him while he was running, or while Trump was running again in 2020. And Ice Cube got a lot of flack on that. He got the predictable flack from the quote-unquote Black community online, which is really nothing but, I don't know, woke bots on Twitter and paid Black blue check liberals who are, you know, either getting checks from the major networks for being Democrats or Democrat strategists or are Hollywood celebrities who, you know, just pile on to any Black person who doesn't toe the Democrat line because, you know, they're afraid that they're going to get canceled or whatever. And he did an interview. And this is something that actually this interview is just now kind of starting to make the rounds again. And this is basically him talking about the lack of any sort of interest that came from the Biden administration when it comes to this contract for Black America that he had created. When I say the Biden administration as it stands right now, but also the Democrat Party as they were running for the presidency. I want you to listen to what he has to say.
The Biden administration agreed with 85% of what you had in there. What didn't they agree with?
I guess 85% because I still haven't spoken to them about it. So, you know, they haven't done anything to act on it. You know, I've had one conversation with an assistant to the president, but no talk with the president and, you know, no other movement. So we're still working though. We're still, like I said, working behind the scenes. We have, you know, hopefully a major announcement to make soon. And, you know, we're going to go to the private companies and see if they are willing to change some of their practices to move the needle and help, you know, all of us prosper.
How did you view the heat that you took for engaging with the Trump administration?
I just think people didn't understand, you know, exactly where I was coming from. And people are really used to seeing, you know, Black people just go on one side to the Democratic Party. And, you know, we've been doing that for a long time as a people. And we haven't really gained as much as I believe we should. And I believe it's important to engage with both sides and not just one side. Because if the one side you're engaging with doesn't respond, there's nowhere to turn. So I think by engaging with both sides, you put everybody on notice that whoever's going to do the most for the people is who we should roll with. Even if it goes against what, you know, the majority of the country wants.
You know, so this is an interesting conversation. And first of all, there's stuff in that contract with Black America that I personally don't believe in. First of all, he's really deep and down in the reparations rabbit hole. And I'm not even going to get into the reparations talk. That is an entire podcast episode. But I got to tell you, and there's a reason, by the way, that Democrats control every level of power in American society right now. They have done nothing but formed a commission to quote-unquote study reparations. I think that, you know, it's pork. It's yet another slush fund. It's just yet another taxpayer money laundering operation. Reparations are never going to fly to the vast majority of people in this country for a few reasons. First of all, if Black people were to ever get reparations, then all of a sudden Latino people, Asian, like any quote-unquote marginalized people, there are people like transgender reparations, so everybody gets reparations, right? And second of all, you can't make the argument with people after billions and billions of dollars sent to Black communities in terms of reparation, in terms of corporate shakedowns to, you know, fraud organizations like BLM Inc., all of that other stuff. You can't make that argument that there needs to be another cash pay. You just can't make an argument. There's going to be a lot of people that, you know, a lot of the paid Black liberals and all that stuff, like they're going to agree on TV. And, you know, of course, Black conservatives are not going to agree. And then it's just, it's that like thing again, which is so boring. And we all saw, you know, we've all seen it. So it's boring. But a vast majority of white Americans are not going to be here for this either. White liberals will pretend to be, but they're really not. And certainly no white conservatives are going to be here for this. But to break down other aspects of what he said, you know, he's right about the fact that Black communities and the Black community, quote unquote, in general, has been so chained to the Democrat Party for so long. It seems as if that is for some people, it seems like that's the only thing to do. It's the only way to go. And Democrats have been so smart. And I say this over and over and over again. They have been so smart at infiltrating. They've already infiltrated entertainment. The left had been infiltrating entertainment for the past 40 years. Okay. They've already been there. They started infiltrating entertainment right at the beginning of the Clinton era. And conservatives kind of just gave it up. And not only did they infiltrate entertainment, they infiltrated all these Black entertainers and Black celebrities. You have something like what happened a couple of days ago, Stacey Adams going to a Lizzo concert in Atlanta. This rapper named Latto that opened for Lizzo. And so Stacey Abrams comes out on stage and she's talking about, yeah, you have to vote like your life depends on it. And then Latto sings this song that is a slur for a part of the female anatomy that starts with P. That's what the song is called. And this is some of the proceeds from the song go to Planned Parenthood. So, you know, it's all about, you know, pushing abortion, but that's easy for Democrats. They know that they don't have to really engage in the community. They don't have to really say, this is what we're going to do. All they have to do is go get some rapper to twerk on stage for them and go right in front of them and say, vote for me. All they have to do is tell you how racist Republicans are. All they have to do is tell you that if you're Black, you're going to get murdered by a racist white police officer. All they have to do is continue to tell you over and over and over and over and over again how oppressed you are in the society, and then vote for us and we'll help you. But people are starting to realize that just the pure process of voting for Democrats is just not going to work. USA Today just did a poll. I think they polled about 1,000 voters over about a week-long period. And they found about 21% of Blacks are supporting the Republican Party. Now, there was polling that indicated as such in 2020. I do believe that the hate machine had been turned up so high for Donald Trump. I think that it worked against him in terms of getting the Black vote. Even if you're talking about Black independence, if you're being told over and over and over and over and over again that somebody is racist, you're not going to go pull the lever for them, no matter how it benefits you economically. And Ice Cube is figuring this out, and he's also figured out that it is a very, very smart move to try to engage with the private sector. To try to say, hey, we're going to do this stuff. Why don't you go to private sector and try to get some money from corporations? Because you have to understand that this party at this point is so corrupt. It is the literal swamp. There is no Black person, I believe, in that party right now that is not involved in the corruption from the highest senator to the lowest, I don't know, city councilman. That is being a Black Democrat, that is the easiest hustle in the world. and they are elbowing out each other to try to get to that hustle, because they know that that's where the money is, because they know all you have to do, you will be hated by Black America for telling them the truth and loved for lying. If you get out in front of a stage and Black people and lie to their faces about why we face the issues that we face as a community in this country, you will be spit on. You will be metaphorically, I don't even spit on you, but you will be metaphorically spit on. You will be called a race traitor, all of these different things when you tell people the actual truths. This is why Black conservatives are so hated in this country, because we have made the decision to tell Black people the truth. That is why Ice Cube becomes a target of hatred every time he attempts to engage with a Republican politician. That is why there's rapper Killer Mike, and I've talked to you guys about this last week. This is a Bernie Sanders socialist that is getting smeared by paid Black liberals because he met with the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp. And I think Black people are going to start asking themselves, who is, number one, who is this benefiting, right? Who is smearing people that dare to meet with Republicans in support of Black America? Who is that smearing? Who is that is smearing them? Who does it benefit? It benefits nobody but the paid Black liberals who have been singing the same song and dance for the past 30 years. Al Sharpton has been saying the same thing for the past 30 years. Who has he benefited? Who has he lifted out of into wealth but Al Sharpton? Who are any of these politicians lifting out of anything but themselves? Black people are starting to figure this out. I always think, I don't know whether it's going to be like I was hoping it was going to be 2020. It did not happen because Trump was just, like I said, the hate machine had been turned up so much on him that it's hard to overcome. I think we're going to see a shift in these midterms. I think Black voters are fed up. And I think that we're going to start seeing a major shift, hopefully, in the next 2 to 4 years. All right, coming up, Disney is introducing its first plus-sized animated character. I got a lot of thoughts about this. I will give them to you after the break.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Vivek Ramaswamy. The media has systematically lied to you. The Hunter Biden laptop story, the origin of COVID-19, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, or how your money's being spent in Ukraine. Enough already with the lies. No more lies, hard truths only. That's what the Truth Podcast is all about. It's not standard conservative talking points. If you want that, go somewhere else. But if you want the hard truth delivered to you in a way that challenges you, and will challenge me intellectually, you're not going to find anything like this on the internet. Subscribe to the Truth Podcast today on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Problematics. Disney has a new heroine, and she is plus size. This is very interesting. So this is coming from the Daily Mail. Disney has revealed its first plus-sized heroine in emotional film about body dysmorphia. This film is entitled Reflect, and as per Disney, follows the story of a young plus-sized ballet dancer named Bianca who battles her own reflection, overcoming doubt and fear by channeling her inner strength, grace, and power. If you just Google this, you'll see the photo of this cartoon character, and I'm just like, oh my god, this is like so much to unpack here. So this is directed by a woman. It's part of the second series of Short Circuit. This is a Disney branded series of experimental short films. Remember, they had the first, like, I think there was a gay couple character, like two gay dads, in one of these experimental short films as well. Okay, look, I have mixed feelings about this, and I'm going to try to be as diplomatic as possible. On one hand, you know how I feel about obesity. You know how I feel about the obesity rate. I do not think that it is a great idea to normalize fat children. I do not think that this is a good idea. The childhood obesity rate in this country has skyrocketed over the past 40 years. Even no less than John F. Kennedy, I think he had made some quote about, you know, we shouldn't be a society that just has, you know, a lot of short, fat, chubby children. And this is, and by the way, this is not bullying, this is not picking on fat kids or anything like that. I was a fat teenager. I was out of shape when I was a teenager. Tell you the truth, problematics. Been watching me on Fox News lately. I need to, you know, drop about 10 myself from my, I picked up 10 in Europe, you know, eating croissants and charcuterie and all that crap. And I've had a hard time trying to take them off. But anyway, the childhood obesity rate has exploded in this country. When I travel across the country, when I'm traveling, if I'm, you know, in different states for different, you know, events, engages, whatever, you see larger children nowadays, and you see larger children more than you ever saw them before. And I am not entirely sure that we need to be creating things, and especially things that are targeted towards children, to like make them feel good about being heavy. Because obesity really is, and I harp on this a lot, problematics, it is a public health epidemic that is now starting to reach our children. It's bad enough that one out of two adults in the United States are obese, overweight, but now it's coming for our kids. And if we're not teaching our kids to move, first of all, if we're not teaching our kids to eat right, if we're not teaching our kids to be healthy, if we're not teaching our kids how to eat vegetables and lean meats and, you know, getting them outside and all of this other stuff, then it's going to be these chubby kids are going to grow up and they're going to become obese adults. And our obesity problem is going to get even worse than it was. And obesity problems, by the way, problematics, are bad for society. Healthcare costs go up. The average cost for everything is just not a good thing. And as much as I believe that Disney Pixar's heart is in the right place with this, I really do. I do think that they think that they're doing a noble thing. I really do believe this. It's a bad move. Because I wouldn't want, now if I had a child and the child was a little bit overweight or whatever, I certainly wouldn't like be an adult bullying an overweight child. In fact, when I was an overweight preteen, an early teenager, the adults around me just basically told me I was fat without giving me any of the tools, by the way, to rectify the situation. So the bullying is not an answer. I didn't lose the weight until I got in the military. I didn't lose the weight until I was given the tools to actually manage it. So obviously bullying kids for being overweight is not the right answer. But the answer is also not to present them with images that normalize being a larger weight. It's just not good. All right? That is really what I think about this. It may not be a popular take. It may very well be a problematic take, but it is a real take. And this is what people really, truly need to hear. It really, really is. And so granted, maybe I'm making a little bit more out of this situation than I need to. Look, it's a Disney Pixar short. You got to find it on Disney Plus. You know, the only people that are really going to see this are maybe parents whose kids, they think that this will help their kids, et cetera, et cetera. I just think that it really does say something about where we are as a society to where we're just normalizing childhood obesity. I do not think that this is a good move, folks. Even though Disney may have their heart in the right place, and even though they want to create content for all kids, I don't think it's a great move. And I'm on record as saying that. All right, Problematics, thank you so much for listening. As always, you can catch Can't Cancel Rob Smith every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday on iHeart Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I will see you next week.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.